Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm with my co-host, Leo Lavezza. You ought to have been a pro wrestler, you know?
It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It does.
Get a little entrance music.
You come in with one of those outfits on, you know, and jump off the ropes and everything.
Uh-huh. Maybe in a different life.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, Leo. That means our listeners are our guests. They get to direct the conversation tonight. Anything they want to talk about, we'll be happy to discuss with them. And maybe there's a topic on their mind that they say, you know, hey, if he can help us with this question about our tax return or about our estate or about our IRA or 401k or college planning or whatever the case may be, or maybe some insurance agents trying to get them to buy something or do something, you know, and they want to just get a second opinion, you know, now's a good time to call in and say, hey, here's my question that I want to direct the conversation. And the way to do that is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question. Early callers always get the most time, so we got to keep that in mind. If you do have a question, you're feeling like you want to call in, well, this would be a great time to do that. I can't seem to find my mouse. Where the heck is it? Oh, what's happening with him? What do you think's happening with him, Leo?
He must be hiding from you. He knows you're trying to use him.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I guess so. Oh, there he is. There we go. He's back again. So I didn't have my chat box up. You would never know if there was somebody calling in or not unless you said something. Anyway, Leo, this morning I was talking to Sean Casey, and I was telling him that one of the worst things you can do as an investor is listen to the media as to what it is saying that you should be concerned about in your investing portfolio. Because, I mean, you just take this whole debt ceiling limit and how the media pounded the table that the world's coming to an end, your portfolio is going to be crushed. I can't tell you how many clients called me up and said, oh my gosh, we got to get out, we got to get out, we got to get out. But you know, the markets are forward thinking, Leo. They're thinking about January of 2024. They're thinking of July of 2024. They're not thinking about whether the debt ceiling next week and the media's pounding the table is going to bring the end of the world. And you know, a great example of this was the media pounded the table during the 2016 election that if Donald Trump were elected president, the market would crash. And they said it over and over and over. And you know what? That night he got elected, and in the overseas markets, the markets crashed. They were down about 15% in about an hour or two after he was declared the victor. And by the morning, the market turned and took off for about 2 years without looking back again, you know? I mean, this is just such a great example of do not listen to the media. They're totally of no benefit whatsoever. They play on greed and fear, and those are the two arch enemies of an investor, greed and fear. And since the media plays on those two, you definitely don't want to use media to you know, think about what you should be doing on investments. Anyway, we're on an open show, Leo. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. You know, I'm getting a lot of great feedback of the book, The Financial Physical. It's been remarkable how many people have read it and just said, you know, that it was so much information in there that it was a good story. They said, I found it as boring. You know, I've considered my life relatively boring, but they found it fascinating. So I appreciated that. But it was a good story. They said, and just a chock full of great ideas and recommendations on, you know, doing personal financial planning and so forth. So, you know, I appreciate that. And I hope anyone out there that's thought about getting it would get the book. We priced it to sell $5.99 on Amazon, or if it's a Kindle, it's $2.99. We don't want to make any money on it. We just want to get the message out as to what this industry is all about and some ways that you could start thinking about figuring out if you have a professional financial advisor by looking at all the different recommendations we're talking about in the book and saying, is my advisor really doing this for me? And if they are, then you say, hey, I got a really, really great professional advisor. And if they're not, you have to really think, why? Why? Am I really just dealing with somebody who's just trying to sell me product and make money off of me? So if you want to get that book, it's called The Financial Physical. It's at Amazon. It's priced to sell. And that's the way to go get it. The Financial Physical by Andrew Tignanelli. And we're on an open show tonight. Leo, no one's calling in. It must be...
Well, we've got Gene on the line, but I think we might have to hold off on him.
We might have to hold on Gene until we come back from our pause. But get online. There's plenty of lines open. Gene will be first up. You'll be right after that. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. 410-922-6680. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. That means our listeners are our guests. If they want to call in and direct the conversation and say, this is the topic that is most of interest to me, and if you answer this question, it would be quite helpful. 410-922-6680. There are a couple lines still open. 410-922-6680. Let's go to Gene. He's been holding long enough.
That's right. Gene, thanks for your patience. What can we do for you tonight?
Okay. I don't think you've ever had this question on the show. My taxes were high because my AGI was the highest it's ever been.
Okay.
Yet I'm retired for 6 years. And I'm just throwing out some figures, and maybe I can't think of something that you can think of. All I live on is Social Security, dividends, and interest.
Okay.
$50,000 between the two of us for Social Security. The only problem is this is the first year that both my wife and I both had to take RMDs.
Right.
$105,000.
Your RMD was total between the two of you.
Yes.
Okay. How old are you this year?
75.
Okay. Okay. So you are over the RMD age sure.
And my wife was over it last year. She just missed the bump up by a year.
Yeah. That stuff happens.
$90,000 in capital gains and about $60,000 in dividends.
Right.
And I'm scratching my head saying, did I miss something along the way?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things, first off, you talk about capital gains, you need to be looking more at ETFs, especially index ETFs that will minimize those capital gains dramatically. That's one of the beauties of exchange-traded funds is that they tamp down the capital gains. If you own open-end mutual funds, you're going to get tons and tons of capital gain distributions. Or if you're just selling stocks, you know, you're going to get capital gains that you're going to have to pay taxes on.
Well, the problem is one of my biggest chunks of money is with a T. Rowe Price fund, health and sciences.
Yeah, and if you've held that for a long time, it's going to pump out a ton of capital gains on you.
I've had it for 30 years.
Yeah.
So my if I sold it, my basis, I'm going to pay a hell of a lot of money just on the capital gain just to sell that. So
one of the things that you can possibly do with that is you can possibly look into an exchange fund. Now, don't mistake that for an exchange traded fund. There's an exchange fund where, you know, you can potentially, and I've never done this with a mutual fund, I'd have to check on it, but you can give it to this fund and let them hold it, and instead of you, and next thing you know, you have a diversified portfolio, and there would be very nominal distributions of those. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing you can do is you can, if you're charitably minded, you can donate shares of the exchange of the T. Rowe Price Fund into something like a donor advised fund, and then use that to make your charitable gifts instead of cash. And lastly, you can do the QCD, qualified charitable distribution of your IRAs, to minimize the required minimum distribution. So those are some of the things you can do. You know, but there's other things. If you're very charitably minded, there's lots of things you can do.
Right.
If you support children, there's another thing you can do. If your children aren't making a lot of money and you're helping to support them, you know, we take those highly appreciated shares and we give them to the children and let them sell it and pay taxes.
At this point, we can't even itemize.
Yeah, I know. Most people can't itemize that easily right now. So, you know, without looking at your full entire situation and how it's all structured and what you're doing and so forth, I'm just throwing out some random ideas that you can possibly do.
I've thought of all those things. I guess I just should be happy that I got a fat wallet, so to speak.
Yeah, I understand, and you should be proud of that. That's you've done well, my friend. We got to move on. Good question, Gene.
Yeah,
good
thanks,
question.
Gene.
Excellent.
We've got Claude in Arbutus. Claude, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm on Social Security disability now, but I'm starting a business, a small private detective business. And if I put the money into the business and don't pay myself a salary, or maybe a minimum salary of $500 a month, can I still keep the disability?
No, because the way businesses work when you own the business is whether you pay yourself a salary or not, the business is still going to pump out the profits to you on your tax return, regardless if you take the money out of the business or not. The only exception to that would be if it were an S corporation or a C corporation. Okay, now here's the problem with those is that if you did not pay yourself a lot of salary because you wanted to retain your disability, Social Security disability, the Social Security Administration actually has investigators that kind of will, you know, watch somebody to see if they're working somewhere without reporting it as earned income. I actually had a friend who used to do that in the 90s. He used to stake out people to see if they were on disability and working somewhere, but just not taking a salary. So you got to be careful about that. Remember, disability income, you can still make up to about $9,000 a year in salary without losing your disability.
Right.
All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good question. You hear that a lot, though, people think about. So let's go to Lee in Baltimore.
That's right. Lee, what can we do for you tonight?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a bank account in one of the local banks here in Maryland.
Okay.
And that bank sent me a letter, a packet, telling me that they're going public, with an option for me to buy stock in that bank. I'm just wondering what you think about that, what the history has been with banks going public. Is that something to buy, or is that something that is not going to be lucrative?
You know, normally it's been a reasonably good investment, not necessarily 100% of the time, but many times it's proven to be a reasonably good investment. It hasn't proven to be a great investment, but it has proven to be a reasonably good investment. So you would just need to do a little bit of homework on the bank to say, you know, what is their business? What are they going public for? What are they going to do with the extra money, et cetera, to try to determine whether this bank going public, they could be going public just because they need the money to get out from under their problems. One thing you got to be careful about is who are they lending money to? Who are some of their bigger loans outstanding to? And the big one to be careful about is commercial real estate, office buildings. There are a lot of small lenders who've made a lot of big loans out to commercial office space who are starting to regret it at this point in time. So that would be something I would be looking for sure. But the history has been.
How do you look for that? Where do you?
Well, they have to give you what's called an offering memorandum. Okay, so they have to give you something to show you what you're investing into. And in there should be disclosure about everything and anything that an investor should know before they buy stock in that company. So it shouldn't just be a little email that's or a letter that says, hey, send us some money.
They sent the whole prospectus and everything.
Okay. That prospectus or that offering memorandum or whatever they sent you should have everything you need to know and every risk that there could possibly be in that that deal. What small bank is it?
Vanguard.
Well, yeah, I've heard of them. I don't know much about them, though. I can't be sitting here telling you that, yeah, I know everything there is to know about them. But I've heard of them, and I don't know enough to answer that question.
Okay.
All right.
Can I ask one more quick question?
Yep.
Okay, you had mentioned to the previous caller, you had mentioned something about gifting stock. Let's say I have a stock that is that has run up, and I want to try to minimize my tax liability on it. You mentioned about gifting it to your children or something like that.
Right. You got to hold on for me because I have to take a hard break at 6:29, and then I'll answer that when we come back. So you hold for me, okay? Because that's a great question. I want to tell you how cool this is, all right? Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli here with Leo Laveza. And we're on an open show. We're going to go to Lee and answer his question because I think he's got something that everybody ought to hear. But we're on an open show today, 410-922-6680. Plenty of lines open. Lee's the only one online. Nobody came on during the break, eh, Leo?
They just want to listen to us, Drew. I mean,
they just want to listen to us ramble on. So if you want to get on for the last half of the show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Let's go back to Lee and answer his question. He's waited long enough.
That's right. Lee, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, Lee. So you're wondering, you have highly appreciated securities. Are you supporting a young adult of some sort?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are they over the age of 24 or are they over the age of 18 and out of college?
Over 24.
Over 24. Okay. So here's what you do. If I had an adult child that I was helping to support and they didn't make a lot of money and I had highly appreciated securities, I could give a hunk of those highly appreciated securities to my adult child. Or my parents, too. I could do the same thing for my parents. And my parents are married, so I could give them up to $80,000. They could sell the securities, potentially, and I'd have to look at their tax return. But the first $80,000 of capital gains to somebody in a very low income tax bracket who's married would be 100% tax-free.
Okay.
Did you realize that? For a single person, it's $42,000 approximately tax-free. So if I had an adult child and they were making, let's say, $5,000 of income, I could give them $40,000 of capital gains. And that's, I don't have to give them 40. I give them 10. I give them 20. And they could sell it. And when they did their tax return, it would say zero taxes owed. Whereas if I sold it, it would say, if I gave $10,000 away, it would say $2,380 owed. Whereas my adult child, it would say zero for every $10,000. I mean, that's a heck of a bargain there. And so it's a way to get the government to help support my adult children or my parents if I had that situation.
What is the amount that a couple is allowed to make and not be taxed on those stocks that they sell?
The adjusted gross, your taxable income, when you take all your deductions, the amount you could make as a couple without paying taxes on capital gains is about $83,000 in 2023. So in other words, if I have let's say I have $23,000 of taxable Social Security and nothing else, the only other thing I have is capital gains, and the $23,000 of Social Security would be wiped out by the standard deduction, and then my taxable income would be about $80,000 if I had $80,000 of capital gains. And they would all be taxed at the 0% tax bracket. So $80,000 of capital gains represented in a taxable income below about $83,000 would be 100% tax-free. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, that people are interpreting properly what I'm saying, or I may not be communicating it well.
Well, I'm just, again, this young couple, if they're making, you're saying if they're making under $83,000, they can sell the shares that I give them and they will not be taxed on that.
Correct. Correct. Do you know in general how much they're making?
They're not making anywhere near that.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you keep in mind that the first $25,000 of any income they make is tax-free anyway because of the standard deduction. So let's say they were making $25,000. That gets wiped out by the standard deduction. You could give them another $80,000 of capital gains, and they could sell them 100% zero tax bracket. So make sure you have somebody competent in taxes looking at your adult children's tax return and saying, if you're going to give capital gains, would these be 100% tax-free to them? And the answer would be, yeah, more than likely. And keep this in mind, too, Lee. I'm assuming you live in the People's Republic of Maryland, right?
Correct.
So not only do you pay up to 23% to the state of to the federal government, but you pay another 8.5% to state of Maryland. So your tax rate on capital gains is easily 25 to 32%. So anything you can do to give it away to somebody who's in a 0% capital gains rate is a big win for you. Especially if you're already giving them cash anyway, it's a big win for you.
Okay.
Go All right, my friend.
Ask the question.
Make sure you look at somebody, you know, who has good tax expertise to look at this before you do it to make sure it's all going to work. Get a and then transfer the shares into a brokerage account in their name, and then let them sell the shares. Okay.
Right.
All right, buddy. Good question. Right.
Thanks for calling, Lee.
All right. Anybody else on the line, Lee, or are we still waiting for people to call?
We're still waiting patiently.
What, you know, maybe they're all still out on Memorial Day enjoying the long week, you know?
Well, and you know, the weather up here, I mean, I don't know if it beats Florida, but it's pretty comfortable up here this week.
Wow, that's great. You know, last week was cold down here. It was like mid-60s.
Man.
You guys were in like the mid-50s, though, weren't you?
We 1 or 2 days, but I mean, it's been in the 80s the last 4 or 5 days. 80s, okay. Nice and sunny.
That is fantastic. It's the same here. It's probably 82, 83 and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, anyway, Leo, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We've only got about a quarter of the show left. We'd love to answer your question. You got to call in and ask that question, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Leo, that means you get to ask a question.
That's right. One of the things you'd mentioned earlier, I think it'd be good to share with our listeners, is you mentioned a donor-advised fund. In terms of giving money, you know, gifting highly appreciated assets. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, that is a really strategy that so many of our clients have grasped onto and just love it once they understand how it works. And the donor advised fund, what we do is it's a mutual fund that's set up by a company like Schwab Charitable, Fidelity Charitable, Vanguard has a charitable fund. And these funds, once you put the money in there, you get 100% tax deduction the year you put the money in, but you don't have to give it to charity right away. You could hold it for 5, 10, 15 years. So it's a way that you can get a big tax deduction immediately for a charitable donation, but not actually be giving it out to the charity over a long, immediately. It could go to charity over an extended period of time. And, you know, there's lots of benefits to it. It's what we call bunching under this current tax law. And you can make your gifts to charity anonymously, something that I really appreciate, because sometimes it irritates the living heck out of me when I make a gift to charity and they come back with a thank you asking for more money, you know. So making that gift anonymously, it doesn't matter because I don't need the charity receipt from each charity I give to. I get a charity receipt when I give it to the donor advised fund because that fund guarantees the money is going to go to charity. Anyway, we're on an open show. I see that Lou and Barry have called in, but we're going to have to hold them until we come back from this last part of the show. We'll go right to them and get their questions answered. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
That's a group that I've heard of before, but I just don't know their name right off the bat.
Don't look at me. I don't have it for you.
I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, you know? I've proven that a few times. Anyway, we're going to go right to our callers, Lou and Barry. Let's go to Lou first.
That's right. Lou, okay, what can
Drew,
we do for you tonight?
I can identify that band. Do I win something for that?
Yes, you get the financial physical book if you identify that band.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
There you go. There you go. You got it. So you leave your name and address with Anita when you're finished, and I'll get the book sent to you.
You know what's funny is I was planning on ordering the book anyway because I love your show. I've listened for a long time. Your advice is always to the point, and it's great advice.
I appreciate that.
Smile on my face when you use the term People's Republic of Maryland because it's so true.
Well, there are a lot of People's Republic in the Northeast, you know.
Right.
What's your question, Lou?
I'm turning 64 later on in the summertime, and I'm thinking about potentially moving to West Virginia.
Okay.
There's some good things, I think, going on there, and just want to get your opinion of the state of West Virginia and as a retirement destination.
West Virginia has some advantages. Cost of living is lower there, so that's a big advantage if you move away from the anywhere close to the D.C. Northern Virginia border. Cost of living in West Virginia is definitely cheaper. The tax system isn't overtly cheap, but it's not nearly as expensive as Maryland's. I don't put it on my...
Legislature had talked about doing away with state income tax.
You know, I've heard four or five states say they were going to do away with them, and they never do. North Carolina was the most disappointing. And what they actually did is they said they were going to do away with it. Then they implemented this fixed income tax rate. It actually raised taxes on all their citizens. You know, so be careful of them when they say they're going to drop them. If they do, you know, that's great. But so far, I haven't seen anybody follow up on that. All right, Lou, leave your name and address, and I'll get that book off. Leo, make sure that book gets sent to you.
That's
okay?
Right. Lou, just hang on for us.
Who's up next?
We got Barry in Hartford. Barry, what can we do for you?
Got a question. Back in 07... I invested in a self-directed IRA, and I put two building lots in Western Maryland in there, and the total value of them at that point, I guess the basis would have been about $8,000 for both. So during all these years, I still have the lots, and the custodian, who is in Frederick County, still has the deeds. The lots don't appear to have gone really up in value. My problem is during all these years, I've paid some of the custodial fees, and then sometimes I had not paid some of them. So they have sent me a statement saying I'm up to $11,000 in fees.
Wow.
Which have not been paid. And I'm thinking, well, hell, the lots aren't worth $11,000, but I can't sell them unless I have the deeds, and I can't get the deeds unless I pay $11,000. So I'm kind of stuck. I didn't know if you had any ideas that I might think about or approach.
Well, I mean, you could call them up and say, I'll give you the lots and we'll call it even.
Yeah. Can I sign the lots over to them?
Yep.
Didn't know if I could do that or not.
Yeah, you can. And it should be a tax-free exchange because the fees are deductible. And the lots themselves would be taxable, but the two should offset each other. But that's about the best you can do, and that's one of the problems you have with these grand ideas of custodians saying that they'll hold alternative investments like real estate. You got to be really careful about the fees, I hear what you're saying, but I would call them and try to make a compromise with them, give them the lots, sign them over to them, and say sayonara.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that way, so your suggestion's well taken, certainly.
Yeah, but, you know, they always could potentially bring lawsuit against you, so be prepared for that, you know?
Yeah.
But I would try to negotiate with them. We'll give you the lots, call it even, I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, they might be willing to do that in light of the fact that all they've done for all these years is keep a bunch of paperwork in a file cabinet.
Yep. Good question, Barry. Hope it works out for you there, buddy.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Let's go to Patty there, Leo.
That's right. Patty, what's on your mind tonight?
Is there a benefit to setting up an account as a transfer on death account versus just naming beneficiaries for the account?
Well, technically, they're the same thing.
Okay.
A transfer on death is normally only done on something like a bank account or a brokerage account or something of that sort. A beneficiary designation is typically done on a retirement account, an annuity, or a life insurance policy. So I think you're asking they're technically one in the same. It's
okay.
Just
it is a brokerage account for my father-in-law, so I just wanted to confirm that, you know, he wasn't missing something that he needed to have set up.
No, a transfer on death is, in essence, a beneficiary designation. It's just being done under a different legal form. I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly, but you're just going to have to take my word for it that a transfer on death is a legal contract like a beneficiary designation on an investment, a retirement account, or a life insurance policy, etc.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Thank you very
much. Good question.
Great question, Patty. Thanks for calling.
It works perfectly.
Yeah.
Last caller here, Leo?
That's right. We've got Ron in Timonium. Ron, what can we help you with tonight?
I came across an old cashier check of made out to me, which I got from my bank. And that bank has been merged and a couple of times. And to the best of my understanding, it's Wells Fargo now. But they say they don't have any records, but I'm told that cashier's checks never expire. So it's a Signet Bank. And it looks like Union Trust, a Union Bank bought Signet, and then they bought Wachovia, and they changed their name to Wells Fargo. So
as long as that cashier's check has never been cashed, I expect that it would still be good. It's as good as cash, as from what I've always understood.
Yeah, well, that's what I read too, but I took it into the Wells Fargo branch, and they took a couple of days. Said, "Well, we can't find any records back to 1996."
Well, I don't know that they, you know, that's their problem. You know, they took over the bank, and they have the obligations of the bank. So I could care less if you have any records or not. All I know is that if this is a legitimate check, you owe me the money.
That's what I'm thinking.
And so I would press them on it.
You know, they were going to go down to, I've already contacted the comptroller to see whether it was turned in. Back in 96, they didn't have computerized records, so they said they have to research it, and it could take 2 to 6 months.
Well, that's fine. Let them take it. How much is it for, $2 or $5,000?
$5,000.
Yeah. It's worth it then, you know. Tell them, do the work and give me my money. If you know that it's a legitimate check, you should get your money and don't take no for an answer.
Yeah, well, they want me to have the state look into it to see the you know, unclaimed property to see whether they got any records. But
well, that's true. You should definitely do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. But anyway, well, if this doesn't work out, I might have to give you a call back and get some further tips.
Well, your only option after that is you would have to talk to the banking commissioner of the state of Maryland and the comptroller of the treasury, of the comptroller of the currency, you know, who regulates the banks, to say, why are they treating me like this? This is a legitimate check, you know?
Right.
And the only option after that, if they can't help you, would be to sue them and force them to do it. But, you know, that could cost you more than $5,000.
Except there's more than one check, believe it or not.
All right, my friend, good question. Very interesting question there. So
that's right.
Thanks for calling, Ron. Anyway, we are out of time almost, Leo.
We are.
Yesterday was your birthday, my friend.
It was. That's right.
And we always honor people at their birthday. And so I just honor you for being just such a great co-host and a great employee of the Financial Consulate. And all the, you know, you went through that CFP exam faster than almost anyone I've seen. You know, you not only passed all the exams quickly, but you also passed the board exam on the first go-round. You're an incredible young man. And I'm delighted that you are part of the company and all the things you've done for us. So,
well, thank
happy
you.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thanks, Drew. It's always a privilege to work with you too. So, happy
well,
to be
thank
here.
Thank you. Yep. Anyway, Leo, I look forward to next time I'm with you. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are